There's many, every time you come to a church, every couple of years, there's always new people. So my wife and I are Gerald and Katie Touchstone. We serve at the Southern Hospital, L'Hôpital Baptiste Biblique in Togo, West Africa. And our job there mainly is the maintenance manager and construction manager, but also much, much more. And if you're here for Sunday school, you got to hear a lot of that. So we'll give you a brief overview of what we do for those of you who weren't here. And there was a clicker during Sunday school. Oh, here it is. All right. So got to turn it on, yeah, all these technology things. All right. So we started out in after we left here in 2022, somewhere in there. We went back to the school for the blind, 2023, I guess. And our verse that came up was Proverbs says, a man's heart plans his course, but the Lord determines his step. So our desire was to serve in Togo. And we started the blind school thinking we'd be the administrators there and working there for a long time. But we ended up at the hospital due to a course of events that God had determined. So the Village of Light School for the Blind is where we started out. It's a great ministry, one of our favorite ministries in Togo. We still love it dearly. This is last year's class. This year, 49 students there, so really pray for them. That's a lot of kids, 3 meals a day, lots of room and board, and teaching. There's 11 new students, which is always a challenge, so kindergarten is super full. But we left there because we shut down the aquaponics side of the business. And but there are some new administrators coming. Pray for them, Armand and Rebecca Nyakpo. They're currently in the States raising funds, and they want to be back in Togo next year taking over and carrying on that ministry. And then we moved up to the hospital because the maintenance manager up there, John Tusink, had been there for 32 years, and he said, my time is up. And so the team said it's easier to find an administrator than a maintenance man, so they asked us to move up there and take over that ministry. So we did, because when you're a missionary, there's the joke on the field. If you're still doing what you came to the mission field for after 2 years, it's a miracle. And so we move around a lot, but I oversee, this is my team of guys now. I have 27 guys that I oversee on a daily basis to do all the maintenance and construction around the hospital. And there you can just see some of the stuff we're doing, renovating houses, doing some electrical updates, pouring sidewalks around the hospital for the make it easier to walk around, to push wheelchairs and walkers. We started that in 2024. We also are the project managers of the Vision Project, which I explained a lot in Sunday school, but I'll give a little bit more here. It's the, we're doubling the size of the hospital because we're starting a PACS program, which is a surgical residency program for African doctors. And so currently our hospital is about 50 beds and we have 2 ORs. And when we get all done with this expansion project, we'll have close to 100 beds or more and 4 ORs. And so the goal of the PACS process, the residency program, is to train African surgeons, and then they have to stay in Africa so they can deliver good quality surgical care as well as biblical care and counseling to many patients. So they have a very heavy load of biblical studies as well as surgical studies. And so this is a vision project that's going to get rolling here. When we get back, we're going to finish up a few things. And again, we got some plans, and I'll answer your questions as we, as you have visit us at our table in the back. So we also have, hopefully, a little video here, right, that kind of shows the hospital.
Hello, my name is Paul Davis. I'm the president of ABWE. I'm here at Hôpital Baptiste Biblique in Togo, West Africa. And we're here because there's an exciting new phase beginning in Togo. to watch the patients lined up outside of this hospital every single day, getting their physical needs met, yes, but also getting their spiritual needs met. The goal of ABWE is not just to leave planted churches, but to help those churches become their own missions movement. And now ABWE wants to help launch a Togolese missions movement around the globe.
If our goal is to do medicine and only do medicine, we will never win. But if our goal is to evangelize, make disciples, and see God plant His church, then we use medicine as a tool. So medicine for us is never an end in itself. It's a tool, it's a platform for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
This hospital was built for the purpose not just to take care of people medically and surgically, but to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get them discipled, starting in church and strengthening those churches so that they can actually send missionaries out.
One of the most amazing things that I've seen since I've been in West Africa is the amount of people that your support is serving. The amazing cases, medical cases, that our doctors are seeing and treating, all in combination with the gospel. So you've been so faithful in supporting us in the past. You have literally built this hospital. Would you be a part of what God is doing in the future? Would you help us help the Togolese reach the world for Christ? Thank you for your support in the past. We're looking forward to a bright future here in Togo as we reach the world for Christ.
So that is kind of the overarching goal of our ministry there is as a hospital, we use medicine to reach the world. And as you'll hear later on, it's a great tool. Medicine is a great tool. So my job is just keep all that running. I'm not a doctor. You don't want me anywhere near surgery. They would violate the sterile field in a big way. But before we talk a lot about Sunday school, if you have more questions afterwards, I'll be glad to ask them. But we need to turn to our Bibles now for the scripture. And so a little bit of review. This is my third sermon in my series. It started 6 years ago, and many of you might not have been here or don't remember what that was, but when we first started working with ABWE and during our pre-filled ministry, your church here at CUNA said, hey, come and share, and we'd love to help you and support you. And so 2 years ago, 6 years ago, we preached on Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and that's how we're saved by grace, and that as a result of that, or a part of that is that God has prepared works in advance for us to do. That's Ephesians 10. And the work there was to go to Togo. And then last time I was here 2.5 years or so, 3 years ago, I don't remember, we talked in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, about where you would pray for us, we would pray for you. And a result of all this prayer and us doing our jobs, souls would come to Christ and the church can go around the world. And so then this one today, we're going to talk about what happens when we read and apply our Bible, because it says that in James, like we need to read it and apply it. And so we're going to look at the life of Paul and his missionary journeys and how we can take the advice of Paul and apply it in our lives and what happens as a result of that. So we're going to start out. We're going to be all over the place today, but we're going to start out in, I need my clicker back here maybe. We don't need that again. There we go. We're going to start out in 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, in verse 16. Just a little short verse in 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 16. Or, excuse me, verse 16. And again, Paul is a missionary, a great missionary. I'm very small missionary compared to Paul, but we can apply the same thing. So Paul starts out here and he says, I exhort you to be imitators of me. And that's a hard statement to make, because how many of you would stand up here and say, hey, follow everything I do? Because that's a tough statement in life, okay? But Paul said that. Paul was, and he's not saying follow me, because Paul was a sinner. He had flaws. He wasn't perfect. But he's saying, and he says this multiple times, be imitators of me. But what he's saying is, look for godly men like Paul who are striving every day to follow God's example and to do what God would have you do, and join them or follow them. So Paul is trying to direct us to God, say, look, it's not me, it's God. But as you follow me, as I follow God. Okay? And so that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to apply the ideas that Paul had. And I want to make sure here that as we get started, when you hear and see what God is doing in Togo, it's not us that deserves any praise or glory. It's God. Because he's just simply using us, and he gives us a front row seat in Togo, and we get to see what he's doing. And he's, and we're just privileged to be a part of what he's doing there. And so we turn and give all the glory and praise to God for just using us and using you guys as you support us to minister in Togo. But we're going to turn, and we're going to be all over the place so you can turn. I'll tell you the scriptures. But Acts 22:21 is our next one. And this is Paul again. And it kind of goes right off what Justin said earlier. Acts 22:21. So this is Paul. He's giving his defense in Jerusalem before they haul him off to Rome at the end of his life. So this is at the end of his missionary journey. But it's a recap of what he's been doing. And he said, his sending from God was, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And then as you saw, Justin read, to the remote parts of the earth. And let me tell you, Togo is a remote part of the earth. It's far away. Okay? It's 11,000 kilometers or 7,000 miles for you Americans. It's a long ways away. It's almost halfway around the earth. It's a little tiny country in Togo. Most people have never heard of it. It's not a place that is on any tourist brochure. And this is something that all the missionaries have to do. And all the missionaries at this conference and throughout all history, God has said, go. And God might be telling you to go, and you're like, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Because going is the hardest part, saying yes to that call, because it has a cost. Okay? You step out in faith, and you're really scared. It's hard to go live in a foreign country, because you're saying goodbye to everything that's comfortable. Family, language, churches, friends, an easy life here, all goes away. But you step out in faith saying, yep, we're going to go to the far parts of the world, because that's the work that God has for us, and that's where he wants us to share and to be working and building his kingdom. And when you land in that foreign country the first time, it's kind of scary, because you realize we're here not for a two-week short-term trip, but for the long haul. And you land at the airport, and as soon as you step off the plane in Togo, you experience heat like Idaho doesn't understand. Okay? And it's going to be hard going back. We're going back in March. So we're leaving a nice, gentle springtime here, and we're going back to the hottest part of the year in March. And it's going to be a tough adjustment, because March is like 122 degrees. And there's smells and all this stuff that doesn't exist. But God says, this is where I want you. And so you have to obey that call to go. And that's the first part. And Paul did, and we have, and maybe you will shortly. But Paul went as a church planter, and we didn't do that. Because God sends out all sorts of people. You don't have to be a church planter to be a missionary. You can be an accountant. You could be construction people. You can be a doctor. You can be any skill, any trade. You just have to be willing to do that and to share the gospel with people. That's all you have to do to be a missionary. But we went as fish farmers. And we did that for a few years, and then it was obvious that wasn't going to work out, so we moved up to the hospital. But Togo is not a new field. ABWE has been in Togo for 50 years. Dallin K. Washer started it in 1974, is when ABWE entered Togo. And since then, there's been a lot that's happened. So Dal was a church planner, and his wife Kay worked with blankets that came out of Niger, which is to the north. And Kay Washer started the School for the Blind. It's the second oldest ministry in Togo behind church planting. Dal Washer, they moved up to Palame about 1976, and he said, I want to plant 50 churches up this road, every village. And he got about 35 planted before he died. But part of then, in 1985, ABWE said, let's open a hospital. There's a big need for a hospital in Chico. And so they built this small 50-bed hospital. But this 50-bed hospital has a huge impact in the community. The clinic sees over 18,000 outpatients a year. Every Monday morning, there's just huge lines like you saw in the video. We have 2,500 inpatients a year. We do over 2,000 surgeries a year and deliver somewhere around 600 babies. The Mongo Hospital does a whole lot more. Mongo Hospital does 3 babies a day or 4 babies a day. Sometimes 6 babies a day. So there's a huge need for mission hospitals. But also we have a nursing school and a mobile medical clinic as attached to our hospital. But as in the video it said, our main goal is we use medicine as a tool to preach the gospel. Because just doing medicine, while it's effective and important, it's not the end thing. Because there's a lot of people we can't heal, that only Jesus can heal. And we need to preach the gospel. And so we do that every day. Every patient hears the gospel. So in the video, you saw chaplains going around all the time. And the doctors and the chaplains and everybody preaches the gospel. And from what we've been able to determine, 14% of the patients there profess Christ during their stay or afterwards. So that's about 2,500 to 3,000 new believers every year from the hospital. But those patients go back to their villages. And they say, hey, look, I learned of this guy named Jesus. Let me tell you about him. And they start evangelizing their village, and churches are being planted. And so the hospital has been directly involved in planting 53 churches. And I know that there was 3 more last year, so it makes that probably up to around 55, 57 churches. 80% now are being led by local pastors. So in the video, it said that we want Togo to be a church planting movement, turning into a missions movement, and it's well on its way. There's always new churches being planted in Togo. Many of you guys know Joseph Akpo. He comes back to the States. He plants a church a weekend. He really could. But we need a huge amount of pastors and seminarians to come and train the pastors. And actually, 2 of the chaplains started a new church this year, as did the hospital administrator, the Togolese administrator. And one of them was a result of the mobile clinic. They went to a village. The chief said, yeah, I used to go to church, but I haven't for a long time. I would like ABWE to plant a church in my village. It's important to have a good Baptist church. And so one of the chaplains said, all right, I'll do it. And they went and started the church. And in Togo, you walk to church. And so one of the hospital administrators said, well, it's not a church in this area, and people are having to walk a long ways. I'm going to plant a church there so they don't have to walk as far, so we can reach that neighborhood of town. And so that's the important part where we get really excited. There's many, many churches being planted. And this is where you look if you see in Timothy 2:2, 2 Timothy 2:2. This is one of my favorite parts of the Bible because Paul gives us this direction here that's carried out all the time. And that is, the things you've seen from me and heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust these to faithful men who will teach others also. And that is what we try to do. We're not church planters, but we're disciple builders. We have a lot of discipleship opportunities because that's what the maintenance guy can do, right? I'm there to do maintenance, but our main focus is on the men I work with and building them and their families. And how do we do that? That's a great question. We do it in many different ways. But in Matthew, in the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you are the light to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So believe it or not, in Togo, we stick out a little bit. When you're in a foreign country, everybody watches you. All the time. What are you going to do? What are you throwing away? How do you do this? How do you react when something stressful comes along? We are constantly watched. And so that's a great opportunity to live out our lives so that we reflect God. And it takes many different forms. We can talk to people. We can counsel. We can show what a Christian marriage looks like. We can give God glory when we have successes. We teach our men to pray. So when something breaks and we don't know how to fix it, we pray for boilers and road graders and bulldozers and all sorts of stuff that we don't know how to fix, that God would give us the wisdom to fix it. We love those who need love, and there's a lot of chances to show love. Helping out financially with medical bills, walking beside people through deaths of their family members, and discipline, when discipline is needed. And we try to live out what John the Baptist said, love one another as Christ loves you. And in doing that, we can draw the world to Jesus. And it opens doors, especially in the area of family and marriage, because Togo family culture is different than American. So quite often after work in the late afternoon, we go for walks around the hospital, and my workers ask me all the time, why do you go for walks with your wife? Why do you talk to your wife? You know, complicated questions like that. Because that's not something the Togolese do. And so we asked them, as I started learning more of their culture, one year on Valentine's Day, I'm like, how do you guys bless your wife and love her? And they're like, what are you talking about? So I said, go home tonight and ask your wife one of two questions. First question you can ask them is, how can I bless you this evening? And the second, or the other question was, how can I be a better husband to you and the kids? And my work's like, oh, boss, you're going to cause problems asking questions like that. And very few of them would do it because, like, we don't want to do that type of stuff. That's a different culture. So there's a huge area that we can learn to teach these men to love their wives and lead their families. And that was our first little, like, oh, there's a problem here. And so I keep trying to encourage them to do that. But the second thing is I try to teach my maintenance skills to them because I want to leave everything I have there. I'm trying to work myself out of a job. Really, it should be the goal of every missionary. And so as we're working, I always take one of them with me, like, hey, let's go learn how this part works. Let's learn how to fix this. Let's learn how to fix that. And so I'm imparting my knowledge to them, and they in turn can continue that and continue to fix things. It gives them a skill and improves their lives. But we also have devotions with our men every week, Tuesday and Thursday morning, 7 o'clock. And they're supposed to be 15 minutes. I always go like half hour, 45 minutes, because we just get going and good stuff and we can't just stop. And they start asking questions. And we just walk through a 50-lesson survey of the Old Testament. And in that, we learned a lot of the Old Testament, because they don't really preach from the Old Testament. In part of that, we learned why the Israelites were sent into captivity, because of sin. And in Joshua, it says, this is Joshua chapter 2, all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And so there was a huge failure in the Old Testament of the Israelite men to teach their families. And we find the same thing in Togo. There's a huge failure of the men to be teaching their families. Families don't eat together. They don't talk very much. They don't have devotions. There's not a strong family unit. And so we realize this is a problem that we can start to pour into and help teach the men. And in Togo, there's many opportunities to serve idols. Here we don't have like open idols. Togo's, we have idols everywhere. You actually see them in the villages alongside the road. They're little idols. And you pray to these idols, you offer to them, you give money and food and alcohol and whatever else it is, hoping for a blessing. And so we said, look, you guys can't do that. And there's thousands of different idols there. And so we started teaching these guys, and I'm like, do you know how to lead your family as Christian men? And they're like, no. We don't know. How do we do it? So I said, are you reading the Bible with your wives? And they said, no, we can't read. Toga is highly illiterate. 40% or more is illiterate. And those who can read Eve, it's very hard. So out of my group of 27 men, I have 3 that can read Eve. Most of them can read French. But let me tell you, if you know a second language or a third language maybe, your primary language always speaks to your heart. When you learn that second language, you can understand it. Like, we read our Bible every morning in French just to try to stay up. But I'm like, I don't know what that word means. I don't know that phrase. And then you're trying to think of the verb tenses, and then you lose it. And it's the same thing. But if you can't read the Bible, how can you lead your family? And so that's where this little tool comes in. These are audio Bibles. And you've seen me talk about it at the men's breakfast. I talked about it in the Sunday school. This is the best tool that we have. And this is a little solar-powered audio Bible. Has the Old Testament, New Testament, and Eve on it. And the men can listen to the Bible with their families and talk about what they hear. We can put all different languages on this Bible, which is a very cool tool. And I've given out probably 100, and I want to give out a couple hundred more. Because with the Word of God, it makes a promise that it will not come back void. So if you would like to help contribute and buy some of these, talk to me after the service. So I gave them audio Bibles. Okay, and the stories that come back are amazing. Some of my guys, I gave them, and I said, you cannot listen to them by yourself. You have to listen to them with your family and with your neighbors. And they're like, all right, we can do that. A couple weeks later, a couple guys come back like, Chef, we need more Bibles. I'm like, well, I just gave you one. I'm like, yeah, but I listened to it with my mom, and she took it. And you got to honor your mother. And they went out to these villages out in the bush and listened with their moms. And their mom's like, this is super cool. I could love it. I need to hear it. I'm going to keep it. You know the missionary. You can get another one. So they come back. They ask for another one. I said, hey, my friends need one, or my neighbor in town wants one. So I'm giving these things out. Okay, they're about $10 a piece. But it is probably the best evangelical tool I have right now. And so I gave all my workers one, and they listen to them all the time. And it's a great thing. I can walk around campus and hear them listening. Okay? And that's the thing. We're just loving them and helping them grow in their walk with Christ. But then we also bought them this book, The Story of Hope. And it's a great book. 40 lessons. Goes through the whole Bible of evangelism. It starts with, who is God? And you can answer all these questions. And the great thing to start with Bible lessons for your family and leading them. And it's in French. We don't have it in Eve yet, but they can understand enough to teach your family. And when we started this, I gave out that when I first asked this, I had 3 men out of 25 doing family devotions. Right before we left, we were up to 7. And I challenged them, every one of them, to go through the book while I'm on furlough. So hopefully right now, they are going through this book and starting to lead their families. And one of the guys came back and he said, that's a great book. Can I get a couple more to teach the men at my church? And so there again is that 2 Timothy 2:2. I taught him. He's teaching other men in his church who are going to teach their families. And so you can see that when we're faithful in teaching and following what Paul did, the Word of God can get out. And that is our main goal in Togo, is to get the Word of God out. Okay? And then here's the cool part, is we do evangelism. Paul says later on in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, do the work of an evangelist. Always be ready to do the work of an evangelist. So in Togo, we have a people group that we're trying to reach, the Fulani. And they're a hard people group to reach. They're Muslim majority people. They're nomadic herdsmen. They're very hard. They don't integrate with society. But ABW said, this is the people we want to reach. So I'm like, all right, I can do that. But I didn't know any Fulani. They live out in the bush. They're cattle herders. I'm busy at the hospital. I don't know how to go out there. I can't speak their language. It's really kind of scary to try to go out into the bush to find people to witness to. And so I started praying sort of like, God, you know, maybe a Fulani, sort of. And God's like, all right, I got you. And so enter Musa. Musa had a really bad hernia, so he came to the hospital, and as he was getting stitched up, he heard the word of God. But Musa is the local metal recycler, so he's always coming looking for scrap iron. He's a good Muslim man, 2 wives, 10 kids, and he became my friend, and we sit and talk all the time. And as I get to know him, it turns out he's a Fulani Muslim. So I didn't have to go out in the bush. I didn't have to go venturing off. God just brought one to me. And I sit and talk to him all the time. He comes to the shop 3-4 times a week. Sometimes we can have hour conversations, sometimes just a few minutes. But he's slowly, slowly softening his heart to the things of Christ. So pray for Musa, please. And this is a cool part. I gave him an audio Bible in Fulani, his language. And I gave him one in the language of his wife's. And he started to listen to it. But pray that what he hears would help change the direction of his religion. It's very hard for Muslims to become Christians in Togo. There's a physical cost, an actual cost. And so pray for him as we go through. But the funny thing is, he's like, you're the first missionary that's really talked to me. And he calls me his pastor. So I have a church in Togo, and his congregation is one Muslim man. So hopefully that church will grow to many, many Muslim men. And holy cow, the time's going fast. All right. But another thing is, here as we wrap it up, and I'll go quick here. We're going to be a little bit long, just to let you know. Paul often wrote about, at the end of his books, who he got to work with, okay, and the different people he got to work with. And I can see him sitting as he's writing, kind of leaning back in his chair and smiling and thanking God for the people. So I want to show you some of my coworkers and friends. Number one is Fofo and Christine. They're the dorm parents at the School of the Blind. Christine is a godly, godly woman, and she loves the little girls, as any mother would, more than their mothers. She sits with them through sicknesses and illnesses, through homesickness, because you get little kindergarten, 5- and 6-year-old girls coming to a foreign school. They're scared. Christine sits with them all night when they're crying. She is a godly, godly woman. And she is the best mother to these kids that I've ever seen. And her husband, Fofo, is completely blind, but he loves God. He's always smiling. He's a chaplain at the school. And every summer, Fofo goes with the principal and others out on these day-long drives, and they visit every kid in their village, and Fofo evangelizes their parents. So this summer, when school's out, Fofo will go to 49 different houses to evangelize and preach to their parents. So that's a huge ministry they do, and it's super fun to minister with them and to talk with him when we can. The next is Karawa. Karawa's my right-hand man. I could not be in Togo without him. He is the funniest guy I know. He has a heart for God that's big. He's always like, what is wrong with our churches? What is wrong with people? Why are we not following God more? He goes to churches on Sunday, to different churches, to make sure that the pastors are preaching solid doctrine. And then if they're not, he tells them, you need to be in the Word more. You need to get better sermons. You need to do this better. And he's like the quality control of churches. And he will come in at any time. All I got to do is call him. He'll pick up his phone. He'll meet me at the hospital in the middle of the night if I need help. He's a super funny guy. Could not minister without him. He goes to the hospital all the time, ministering to people, sitting with him in the hospital. Just a godly, godly man. And then we have Abeko. He's the administrator at the School for the Blind. Again, he loves kids. He, like we said in Sunday school, there was 3 girls that needed a place to stay that want to move on to junior high. They didn't have a place to stay in town that was safe. So what does he do? He's like, fine, I'll build you a house. He tears down his garage and starts building a 3-room little dorm-style house with a kitchen and hires a house help lady to live there with these girls out of his own pocket. He shows up every Sunday and takes 3 vanfuls of kids to church, or maybe 2. I don't know how many. Probably 3 now with 49 kids. But he started with ABWE when he was probably 16. And he's worked with ABWE all of his life. And he is one of the people that missionaries could not function in Togo without him. He's taught me so much. but he's a huge man of God. So continue to pray for him as he leads the school and does a lot of work. Then we have Sammy. That's the guy with his back turned to us with the Bible. He's a chaplain at the hospital. Sammy always is smiling, and all day long, he is faithful to preach the gospel to patients. And the thing about Sammy is he just started a new church too, because he was the one in the village where the chief said, "I need a church here." Sammy says, "I'll go." And I ask him, like, "Do you have any friendly or family or friends or anybody you know in that village?" He's like, "No, I don't know anybody there, but they need a church, so I'm going to go do it." So there again, he's being called. It's down the road, but every Sunday he's faithful to go. And he goes on the mobile medical clinics and many other things. So continue to pray for Sammy and the other chaplains at the hospital, because they do a tremendous amount of evangelism. And then there is Pastor Sakpa, who is another great guy here. I bought him a solar-powered egg incubator so he could have a little bit of extra money raising some chicks to sell, because he lives on a main highway, and everything that he tries to raise on his farm gets stolen. Like, seriously, pigs, goats, whatever it is, it's gone. So we bought him this little incubator. He could raise chicks in his back room and then sell them to make some additional money. But he's the one, if you listen to this, it's his voice. So he's the one who recorded the Eve Old Testament, and they're going to start redoing the New Testament to fix some errors in it and grammar and different things. But he is another pastor that has a heart for the Fulani. He goes into Fulani villages. He adopted a Fulani girl. He goes to Ghana one Sunday a month to preach. He goes out into the bush on the other Sundays. He preaches at his church, and then he leaves to go to another church at 2 in the afternoon, and then they go out into the Fulani villages and ministers, and then all the rest of the week he's ministering to everybody else. He comes up to the hospital, and for him it's about an hour ride on his motorcycle, but he's faithful in doing God's work, and it's just a joy to serve with these people and to work with them. So as we, all missionaries, we have prayer requests. And I know we've gone fast, but our main prayer request, it will be forever and ever, is wisdom. If you ever think of us, just give Gerald wisdom. That's the prayer that can do the most, because I need it all the time. Second, to be bold with our faith. It's easy for me to work 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. I could easily do it. But that I would stop and minister when I need to stop and minister, because that's easy to do. Pray for our workers, my crew, that they would really understand the necessary biblical leadership in their family, and that they would start to lead their families and teach their families, and that movement would spread through the churches in Togo. Pray for our co-workers, that they'll be faithful in their ministries, Obeko and Sammy and Pastor Sakpa and Fofo and Christine, that they would continue, because like here, ministry is tiring and it has an emotional toll, but that they would be faithful. And then for the Muslims in Togo, for Musa and the other Fulanis, and there's many other Muslims, probably 40% in our area, that really need to hear the gospel. And there are Muslims that become Christians, and I know many of them, but just continue that they would come out of the Islamic religion and become Christians. And then as we wrap this up, we had some questions for application, because that's the important part. Because Paul says, you know, do what I'm doing, apply the scripture. So number one, are you daily in the word and living out what you read? Because in James it says, don't be just hearers, but doers, right? Are you living out your faith? Number two, is your life an example worth following? So if people were to say, could you stand up here and say, hey, follow me as I follow God? Do you want people to follow your example? Okay? That's a tough one. Number three, are you living in a manner that your light is shining to the world and drawing people to Christ? Do people look at you and say, man, there's a godly man. I want to do what he does. That's a great example of what he does. The next one here is, who are you discipling? Because that's a huge part of what we do. It's always in the Bible. So, do you have a younger believer that you are actively teaching and investing in their lives? Or maybe not a very deep believer. Okay? Are you actually, and there's a lot of older people here with a lot of wisdom. Are you pouring that into the younger generations of Christian families? Okay? Are you discipling somebody? And then the last one's probably a really tough one. Who are you evangelizing? Do you have a non-believer that you're actively witnessing to? Because if everybody in this church was witnessing to one person, and that person became saved, let's say over a six-month period, you would double your church. And then, if you continue to do that, in a year, you would quadruple the size of your church. You'd need a really big building fund. Okay? So are you actively evangelizing? That's the most important one. Because why would you take what you have, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and keep it and not share it? All right? So let's pray as we wrap this up, and we'll go on. Let's pray, though. Lord, thank you for today and for a brief survey of what you're doing in Togo and a brief lesson on how your name is being lifted high, but how we need to read the word and to follow it and do it and not just read it and say, that's good. But Lord, we pray for this church in Kuna here as they continue to grow and reach Kuna, and as they evangelize, that they would be bold with their faith, even for James here as he's headed out today to go evangelize over in Caldwell. We pray for wisdom for him and that his outreach and work would be fruitful. Lord, we pray for this church as they're reaching Kuna through evangelism in many different areas, that they would be bold in their faith and that they could do more. But we thank you for what they're doing and their support of missionaries around the world. And just continue to help us, convict us with your spirit that you gave us, that we read about, that your spirit would guide us with boldness and truth as we reach the world for Christ, and that we would be willing to work with you and go wherever you would send us. And just thank you for your great love for us and for sending your son for us. In thy most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.